Welcome to the eighth episode of the It's Been Said podcast. I'm your host, SAI Executive Director Lisa Ramey. Each show is dedicated to conversations on leadership as we further SAI's mission to support, encourage, and develop Iowa's educational leaders and learners. Okay, today I am joined by Doug Discoot, junior senior high school principal at West Lyon Community School District, who is the 2023 Iowa Fine Arts Administrator of the Year. Doug was selected by the Iowa Alliance for Arts Education and School Administrators of Iowa. Colleagues nominated Doug for this award, and its criteria are set by the Iowa Alliance for Arts Education. Doug demonstrates how his leadership contributes to the development of the arts in a school and district. Doug has been junior senior high school principal at West Lyon since 1997 and previously served as a business education teacher at Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln High School. He has a bachelor's degree in business administration and a business education teaching endorsement from Northwestern College, a master's in school administration and a superintendent endorsement from the University of Northern Iowa. Welcome, Doug, and once again, congratulations.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And certainly it's a great honor and a humbling honor to be recognized as a Fine Arts Principal of the Year for the state of Iowa. I very much appreciate it.
Yeah, well, very deserving you are.
Thank you.
Well, let's get started. So why are fine arts important in schools?
Super question. I like to quote Tolstoy when I'm asked that question. Tolstoy in his essay, What is Art? And I believe it was published in 1897, said that without art, men would be like beasts. And I think that is so true. Every other creature on earth, you know, songbirds or whatever, they're doing it for a mating call or to express danger, or whatever, but only humans can use art to express feelings, emotions, can create art for the sake of self. And certainly I think schools, public schools, K through 12, provide the only opportunity for students to explore and express their interest in art. Quite often that's the only opportunity they have to be in art, whether it's a elementary school program, an elementary skit, and then progressing into art classes, sculpture classes in the high school level, certainly the band programs, the speech and drama programs that we have in high schools. Those are really the only opportunities that children and young adults get to be involved in the arts after high school, after they graduate, for the most part. You know, the adult lives set in, they become involved with families, work commitments and so forth. So the arts quite often are kind of forgotten. Hopefully, because of their experience in the fine arts program through school, through the 12th grade, they at least gain an appreciation for the arts. So maybe, you know, they have an opportunity to see a musical or a Broadway show or something, they can really learn to appreciate what they've been able to experience in high school. Maybe they are developing their talents and can contribute in their church, whether it's in the choir or play an instrument in their church choir. I think those are all very valuable skills to develop to better our society and better ourselves as humans.
Yeah, Doug, I really appreciate you connecting it to life after, you know, the pre-K-12 setting, because there are many times, while it may not be formal as far as like moving on to be an art teacher or a musician, but where you can give back in ways in your community through the arts. Yeah, for sure. Thanks for connecting that.
Absolutely. And it can even be something as simple as, you know, taking your own children to a museum, an art museum, you know, in your local community or nearby, and, you know, just enjoying the beauty of a painting or whatever. So I just think it's so crucial that America supports the fine arts in our public school system. We had a foreign exchange student several years ago from Switzerland, gifted violinist, and she was shocked that we actually had band in our school. She said in Switzerland, she had to join an orchestra outside of school. They didn't have any of the fine arts in their school system. So everything was done outside of school, like an extracurricular, a club program, if you will. And she was very gifted violinist, but everything had to be done outside of school time. There's nothing for the arts in Switzerland. So I was just kind of taken aback by that.
Yeah, I think we're very fortunate in Iowa to where we have those fine arts programs within our settings, our school settings, for sure. So would you highlight for us, Doug, features of the West Lyon fine arts programs, including how you recognize students in the programs?
Like many schools in Iowa, most schools in Iowa, we have a very diverse and dynamic fine arts program, K through 12. Certainly it starts in the elementary program with the typical elementary music, learning how to play a simple instrument. Then the elementary program where they sing, you know, and everybody loves that. But then it certainly develops into, we have junior high, fifth and sixth grade band. And then it goes into the junior high and high school band programs. Our band program has had lots of success in recent years. Our jazz band just won the two-way jazz championship, number one jazz band in the state of Iowa this year and last year. We're repeat winners. Our jazz choir at the high school made the championships as well this year. So lots of excitement in that area. Our marching band as well has done outstanding and been recognized region-wide as one of the premier marching bands. And for a small school, I think that's really special. Sadly, when I was at the MLC band, probably the Dutchman band, several of the schools in my area also had marching band, and we were competitors against Boyden Hall and several other bands in our area. Pipestone was another one that was a big competitor of ours. Sadly, those programs have all vanished, due in large part, I think, because of funding issues. West Lyon has still kept our program very strong. We're a two-way school. Our band has about 90 students in it. Our marching band has about 90 students in it. And they travel throughout the region competing and do very, very well. And sometimes we're competing against schools much larger than ours and having success. That's just one of the many examples in the music program. Certainly our visual arts as well. We have high school musical every fall. And then in the spring, we also have a play at the high school level. And then probably 10, 15 years ago, we also introduced a junior high musical, which is just wonderful to watch our junior high kiddos perform. They only get about 6 weeks after school to work on something. And every time I'm just amazed at the young talent that we have there on the stage. We'll get 30 kids that are interested. And even if they're only in it once, at least they, you know, have that opportunity to get involved. Some great singing involved, some great acting involved. And that kind of is a seed then to carry them on into the performing arts, possibly in high school. And, you know, like, kind of, this is kind of fun. I think I like this. And hopefully they proceed into high school musical as well. Our visual art program also lots of success. They participate in an art show at the Northwest Iowa Community College. It's a regional art show. So our young students have received blue ribbons at that event. We also have an art show locally. We combine band supper. Get hundreds of people that come for a band supper to support our band program as a fundraiser. And then off to the side, we have lots of art work that our students have done this year and previous year. So the public gets to see our talents of our young students in that manner as well. Some of the things we do to recognize and encourage our students, I think, is rather unique for West Lyon. When we have a pep rally here at West Lyon, it's not just for athletics, which I think is pretty typical. We also include everything that we want to shout and cheer on. So we do call down the jazz band if they're going on to state championships or whatever, just like we do for a basketball team or a football team. We call those students down. We recognize them. We call down our students that are involved in speech, recognize them, especially if we have some. But this year we had five students that made all-state speech. So we'll have a pep rally for them and recognize their outstanding work. My philosophy is these students are working just as hard as the students that are involved in a sports team. We should be recognizing their efforts as well. So, and it's been well received by our student body. We'll call down the FFA, the FCCLA when they're going off to some competitions. We'll recognize them. We don't have a lot of pep rallies. We kind of do them all once a quarter. So we kind of combine everything together. It can be kind of long, but you know, that's the fun part, is recognizing all this excitement that we have at West Lyon and all the hard work that our students are doing. So I really think that communicates to the student body everything that's going on here, all the excitement that's happening, and they can see their peers. Oh, I didn't know that Land was involved in speech. That's kind of cool. So it gets the word out, I think, as well, helps them understand what's all involved.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's really nice that you're able to recognize them in that manner. Yeah. In your comments, you mentioned some programs going away. That kind of connects with my next question. Mm-hmm. So with tight budgets, we, you know, as schools, we have tight budgets. How do you prioritize fine arts programs?
Yeah, that's always a challenge for any administrative team, any school district, when budgets are tight. And some of these programs are very, very expensive. Our band marching program, you know, a lot of expensive instruments, the travel time involved. Is probably 10 years ago, we bought all new uniforms for a marching program. It cost $100,000. So lots of costs involved. Same way as, you know, our sports, our football. Everybody knows football is an expensive sport to have in your school. We try to be equitable across the board. When there is times where we have to cut, we try to do it across the board. We don't just focus on one area. It was probably 15 years ago, we were in a budget decline, enrollment decline. And so we had to make some tough choices. And, you know, we sat down together as an administrative team and our school board, and we decided, well, if we're cutting two coaches here, we got to look at where we're going to cut in the fine arts as well. And we had to make some of those tough choices. Fortunately, West Lyon, we do have a casino in our county. So we get some extra funding from grants for the casino. That has helped us tremendously. So it's just a matter of prioritizing, making sure that we're being fair and equitable to everybody as much as we can, recognizing that everybody has needs and we can't always fulfill all those needs. I will say time quite often is one of the big factors as well, budgeting time. The calendar gets so full with all the sporting events and music events and community events and everything else. It's hard to find free dates, especially this year. West Lyon had 14 snow days, and so everything got moved around and put somewhere else, and it just got to be a real challenge. And most of our students, being a small school, are involved in multiple things. They will be involved in volleyball and in the marching band. They will be involved in basketball and in state event scheduling. Or, you know, we just have to have a basketball game on this night, and it also happens to be a speech and debate contest. So in those situations, we do the best to minimize. Sometimes we can make adjustments and start time, or ultimately it may come down to them. I want to play on the basketball team, or I want to do the marching band thing. So that can be difficult, but we try our best.
Yeah, it's really nice when students are involved in multiple activities. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it really helps that well-rounded individual for a student, for sure.
We had one of our senior girls this year. Our cross-country team, girls' cross-country team, was a little bit short on runners. So believe it or not, she was on our volleyball team, one of our star players, and she also ran cross-country the same season.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness, how did you do that?
Right.
Had a lot on the weekends, and it worked out. Cross-country meets didn't interfere with the volleyball meets, so it worked out. But my goodness, she was busy.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Kids are amazing, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And she's a 4.0 student.
Oh, wow. All right, Doug, tell us about a memorable time when contact with a student's family changed your perspective.
Wow, that's a big question. I had to give a lot of thought to that. And I went back to when I first started here at West Lyon. I was only 34 years old, green as they come as an administrator, only been in education for 6 years prior in Council Bluffs. There was a couple students that introduced themselves right away and on my first day of school and said, "You're going to be seeing a lot of us, Mr. Jiskut." Okay. And they were right. I was seeing a lot of these two particular boys. They were not related in any manner. And the one was, it wasn't horrific stuff, but just enough for their, you know, the teacher was getting frustrated, sitting in my office and just several suspensions and so forth. And going into year two, similar type things. And finally got to the point where I had to have a conversation with his mom in single parent home. And I get it. That makes things difficult. Didn't really have a positive male role model in his life. And just had to have a conversation with mom and said, if this continues, I'm going to be left with no choice but to bring your son up for expulsion. He's just continuously violating the rules. And then things are escalating to a point where I don't feel I can be a functional student here at West Lyon. And that kind of opened up her eyes, I think. And it wasn't that much longer that she decided to move out of our district. It was probably 12, 15 years later. I have a wedding invitation in my mailbox in the summer, and lo and behold, it was postmarked from Nebraska. He had apparently moved to Nebraska, and I was just struck that here I thought I lost this young man, had no contact with him, but I can only assume that I must have made some sort of connection that he thought enough of me to invite me to his wedding. Regretfully, I didn't go. I wish I would have now. It was, you know, out in the middle of Nebraska, and it was a bit of a drive, and I just didn't make the effort to go on it. I feel badly about that now. I did send him a card, of course, but to this day, I still think about that, that you just never know when you make a connection with somebody. Years later, hopefully you do find out, but that was a powerful moment for me. I will say quite often schools is the safest place for our students, you know, in the home situation that they're in. And there are times where we do learn that the child's basically raising themselves, the parents out of the picture. If there is a parent, they're frequently gone doing things that they probably should not be doing, and the kids left to themselves. So it kind of explains a lot when you understand that this is why they're not coming to school as much, or don't have anybody to get them out of bed, or even somebody wash their clothes or to feed them. So that certainly is concerning. We do our best to try to address those as best we can. Shortly after COVID, our school board recognized the mental impact this is having on our students, and the high anxiety and even some depression. And so they brought on a social worker under our staff, and she's just been phenomenal. She started mid-year in January a year ago now, and within a month, she had a full docket of students that she was seeing, elementary through high school, which really, wow, I knew we had some concerns, but not to that degree. And she continues to still be very active and very busy, very involved with students' lives. And she's made a difference. Our students now have a safe place that they can go to and just sometimes vent, get some guidance, get some social expertise on how to handle situations. So it's been a blessing to have Kelly on her staff. I hope other schools can do the same things. It has made an impact here at West Lyon.
Yeah. You know, Doug, so important for our listeners to hear you say you never know when you make an impact, because that is so true as an administrator or a teacher, support staff, right? You just never know when you're making that connection and have an impact with kids. And the other piece that I think I would want to highlight of what you said is, you know, sometimes, or when administrators think a student's acting out, it's, oh, they just are acting out because they want to act out. If you dig deeper, there may be something else going on in their life. Yeah. And so, really appreciate that perspective. So could you share with us an effort that you spearheaded at West Lyon, fine arts or otherwise, that you're just particularly proud of?
Yeah. Tying back to what I just commented earlier about making connections with school and having an impact, we're a remote rural school, and we had a at-risk program, if you will, that was tied with Sheldon's NCC Community College program, but that's about an hour drive for our students, and we just were not having a lot of success with our at-risk students. It just wasn't working. Credit recovery, whatever, they would, even if they only had to drive once a week to on campus, take a test, whatever. NCC even offered to pay for the gas and so forth. Just wasn't a workable situation for us. So about 5 years ago, we had an opportunity with our math teacher, became our athletic director, activities director, and he was looking for a different assignment. And together we kind of worked out starting an at-risk program here on site. And rather than calling an at-risk room or an at-risk program, we flipped it and we call it the success room. We want our students that are in that program to find success, whether it's academically or socially or whatever. And Mr. Childress, our success coordinator, actually just reported to the board just this past Tuesday. He had some testimonials from students that he's had in this program of the positive impact that this program has had on them being able to stay in school. One young lady, she just graduated last year, said, had it not been for the success room, I'm sure I would have dropped out. But because of the adults that are in that room, Mr. Childress's teacher, I was able to basically survive, get through the test. I got the encouragement that I needed. School wasn't such a drudgery for me anymore. So I'm pleased to hear that we're able to make that connection with those at-risk students that otherwise may have dropped out. Not that West Lyon had a high dropout rate, but I think it's making the school experience a little bit more palatable for our students that struggle a little bit, might be on the fringe. Another initiative that I'm really proud of and pleased that we have at West Lyon is what we call our good news cards. When I first came here at West Lyon, I quickly realized that as schools, we're pretty quick to report to parents when something isn't going right with their child, whether they're failing in a class, they failed in a test, or it's a discipline matter or whatever. Not so great in sharing the good news, other than maybe, you know, at an awards assembly or whatever. So I had little postcards made up with the West Lyon logo on it. And I asked my teachers to mail out 10 good news cards per semester. They sign it and I sign it as well. And then we get it in the mail to the students. And it could be for anything. It could be for a student that typically gets D's, maybe even some F's on a science test, but for whatever reason, on this test, the student got a C. So I encourage that science teacher, send them a good news card for, you know, a pat on the back for that C. And maybe that C will lead to another C and maybe eventually a B. It could be for, you know, I really noticed a kind gesture that your daughter did in the lunch line today, helping out a friend that was struggling, anything like that. We want to encourage and send good news cards to the homes. On graduation day and all those graduation parties, it's not uncommon for me to see the senior table, you know, all spread out with all the accolades that they received. And more times than not, they will have their good news cards that they collected through their high school years displayed as well. And it's just kind of heartwarming to see that it meant enough to the student as well as the parents to save those and put those out for everybody to read. I think it's kind of heartwarming. It feels good.
Yeah, it should feel good to you, Doug. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that's fantastic. So when you think about educational leadership, what is some of the best advice that you have received?
Oh, wow. First of all, to be visible, certainly in the hallways, in the classrooms, attend as many events as you can. I think the parents and the teachers and the students really appreciate that. I try to hit as many events as I can. I go, Monday I'm leaving for the FFA state conference in Ames. You know, that's a 4.5 hour drive for me, but I think it's important to be there. I don't go every year, but I think it's important for me to show my support in those types of situations. And I think it's important for any administrator to show support for all those things that their students are involved in, whether it's music, sports, the student organizations, to be out there in the community, out there in the school. Another thing I find important is, and this comes from Todd Whitaker's book, What Great Principals Do Differently. I read that book several years ago, and it's always stuck with me. One of the things he said is the principal, the leader of the building, sets the tone for the building every day. You know, it's so easy for us to get down on the stresses of our jobs. We can't project that out into the hallways and when we're having conversation with our students or our teachers, whatever. They don't understand what's going on in our world. And yet we can't share that with them either. We need to stay positive because that can have a somersault effect. We're also, as a district, studying John Gordon's book, The Energy Bus. And that's very much, you know, being a positive leader. And sometimes it's a struggle for sure, but our body language and how we communicate needs to always be in a positive manner, even if we are dealing with a lot of stress, because that just carries out in the building and into the classroom for sure. So trying to stay focused on being positive and communicating that positivity is, I think, so important.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. And some good reads there for sure. Absolutely. That you mentioned.
Yeah. I love Todd Whitaker. We've heard him speaking about, I think he's been at the Iowa SCI conference a few years back. You know, he's such a powerful speaker. I love him when he comes.
Yeah, for sure. So what legacy do you wish to leave, Doug?
I'm not dead yet, but my legacy, I like to see, hope that my students, my staff know that I care, that I listen, and sometimes, you know, I can't give them the answer that they want, but I hope they understand that I care and that I listened, that I'm supportive. I would say my leadership style would be one of service. I try to be out there. One of the things that kind of happened by circumstance couple of years ago, almost our entire cooking staff walked out in the middle of October. And we were in a panic. Oh my gosh, we got to feed our students the next day. What are we going to do? And the community rallied. We had plenty of volunteers that came in. We had a couple staff that stayed behind or were still on staff. So they showed how the equipment worked and taking care of special dietary needs. So we were able to make it work. And I was put in the dishwashing room. That was my first job, by the way, was working at a steakhouse as a dishwasher when I was 14 years old. So things come full circle. And I've been there ever since. On Friday afternoons, I just enjoy that part of communicating and being with the other cooks. I think the students kind of appreciate seeing their principal in the dish room doing, let's face it, it's not the most glamorous work, but I get a kick out of it. And, you know, the students will thank you, Mr. Jisku, and I say, hey, have a great weekend. So I'm still there, and I think that kind of demonstrates you got to do what you got to do to support the organization, to support the program that you're in. I hope the community, the students see me as a service leader, my teachers.
Yeah, boy, you're certainly modeling for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me about the most influential people in your life and how they impacted you.
Certainly my parents. Fine arts is so important to me because of my father, first and foremost. He was the music professor at Northwestern College, played the organ in music history and so forth. And my mother sang in our church choir for a number of years. She also was able to play the piano. So that's how I got involved in the fine arts. It's just a part of my life. I would hear my dad play the piano, all throughout my childhood and growing up. I played the cello. I played the cello through the Sioux City Symphony through college, played trombone in the MLC marching band and concert band. And even now I sing in our church choir. I sing at the Christmas at the Cathedral in Sioux Falls, which is televised. So that has become such a big part of my life because of my parents and my upbringing. But also they just modeled for me a strong work ethic and what it means to have a successful marriage. Both very, very important to me and how to function as an adult, a positive adult. Other individuals, my youth pastor, Pete Tooney. I'll be honest, high school was not the most enjoyable for me. Being a musician in the fine arts, I was not into sports. So I was bullied when I was in high school playing the cello. It's kind of a funny instrument. So I was teased and bullied quite often. Mr. Tooney helped me through that. My youth pastor was very supportive and encouraging and got me through some rough spots. And I think that helps me be a little bit better principal. I'm now able to empathize with students that come into my office in tears. I'm being bullied. I can really relate to how they're feeling and what they're experiencing and be somewhat directive in dealing with those situations, unfortunately. And then lastly, of course, my wife. As I said earlier, being a principal is very, very stressful. Any leadership position is. And sometimes I just come home with a lot of baggage. I try not to, but it's just unavoidable. She's always been my sounding board, my support, quite often gives me great advice and encouragement, support, and very understanding when my job takes me here, prom night, I won't get home till after 10 o'clock, sometimes midnight, and that's just how it is. But she's always very supportive and a great, great partner for me.
Yeah. You know, when I talk to aspiring administrators, one of the things I say is before you take that first job, make sure it's something that not only you want, but your family, right?
Absolutely.
It's absolutely the package.
Yep. And you're living in a fishbowl, especially in a small community like this. You're living in a fishbowl and everybody knows your business and you're seen as a very important part of the community. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So what is the most important lesson you've learned over your career?
You cannot over-communicate, whether it's with your staff, the parents, the public. The more emails, the more phone calls, the more meetings, and don't have a meeting for a meeting's sake, but certainly have a purposeful meeting. You cannot over-communicate. It's so easy to do nowadays with internet and emails and so forth, as opposed to I started my teaching career with, paper memos and mailboxes. The internet was just starting to come on the scene. And I don't even think we had email just yet when I was starting. So it's so easy now to communicate and get the word out. should be no surprises in education anymore, whether it's with the staff, parents, the students. That is just so important. That puts out a lot of anxiety and ends a lot of angst, if you will, when they understand where you're coming from.
All right. What thoughts, Doug, on leadership would you offer to those new to the profession or interested in becoming an administrator?
It's a job fraught with many, many challenges, but also it's a job, a position with many, many rewards. Education is one of the few careers where you have a lasting impact on one individual, which then carries out to other individuals. You sometimes have no idea the impact that you're having, whether it's as principal or as teacher. It's a career, a job like none other, maybe other than a pastorship, something in the faith business. And that's what makes what we do worthwhile, knowing that you're making those connections and stay focused on the positives that you have in your school. And we have many great things happening at West Lyon, from the fine arts, our band program, music program, to our sports and our FFA, FCCLA, lots of things to celebrate, which we do in our pep rallies. Focus on those positives, the many, many more students that are positive and encouraging and thankful. Try not to get weighed down by some of the negatives of our position and the stresses that are involved, because it will get you if you constantly dwell on those things.
Well, Doug, I want to thank you. Thank you for your time, but most importantly, thank you for your service to the West Lyon community. I can see the passion that you have for the work that you do, for your students, for your families, and the community there. And congratulations once again on being the Arts Administrator of the Year. If you're looking to grow your leadership, consider participating in one of the SAI's Four Essential Roles of Leadership events this June. The learning also qualifies for evaluator approval. Visit the events page on SAI's website to sign up. Be sure to join us for the next episode when we welcome Iowa Central Office Administrator of the Year, Chad Lang of Glenwood.